Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African boxing. A former Ugandan prize fighter is training young boys and girls to box in his local neighborhood. Despite the COVID-19 threat, Warren Sabuga is using a backyard compound donated by well-wishers. And parents in the neighborhood are applauding Sabuga's guidance. Magume Davis Rakawinge tells us more in this feature from Kampala.
A group of young boxers, both male and female, gather in the compound of Nalong Sise Nachimbugwe, a community leader in the Kampala suburb of Bukesa. The youngest boxer is 4-year-old Hosea Williams Chitandwe, Papa. His mother, 23-year-old Majorine Nakabuye, says she has been inspired by other young boxers, including her son. In fact, Nakabuye says she joined Bukesa Boxing Gym with the purpose of gaining fitness, but her love for boxing grew with the time. She says his glad turned out well, not only for her, but for her son, whom she believes will become a professional boxer one day.
It became a habit. You never know. I'm hoping that one day I also go for boxing, or I get a medal, or I become a champion. You never know, because now I love boxing. By the his age, people are so amazed with him, because his brain is very sharp. Whatever they do here, he's always here helping other people. And when he's out there after the practice, he always keeps on practicing by himself. Whenever he doesn't have the pads, he gets the shoe he gives you. Mommy, jab, jab.
17-year-old Regan Magumba fights in the lightweight class and is another young boxer with big dreams. He says joining this boxing gym has helped him become a better person.
When I'm here, you can't say that Magume is a thief. He's a thief when you are seeing me here, okay? It keeps me, like, not in groups, but only with good people like Coach Wallen. Because many friends, I've seen many friends of mine, they are like, they take alcohol, marijuana, like that thing, they lose their brain. For me, if I keep on training, everyone is willing to be on a national team. Yeah, I'm willing to be on the national team. I want to be a professional boxer.
One of Magumba's new friends here is 13-year-old Noha Muse, an Eritrean refugee who joined this club 3 years ago. Just like other young boxers, Muse has dreams of representing his country of birth and becoming a world champion. Muse says he's inspired by world-renowned American boxing champion Floyd Mayweather.
I see him in TV, inspiring. Then I started saying that, let me become fast as Mayweather. That's why coach started giving me the shadow weights, and I started throwing there. The way I shadow box, the way I throw my punches, I'm seeing that I'm at least becoming a bit good in it. So I would like to be a professional boxer and a champion.
The gym was started by Warren Sabuga, whose dreams to represent Uganda were cut short when he went through a major surgery and was advised by doctors to quit boxing. He says he couldn't let go of the sport he loved so much. In 2012, he started training as a coach so he could inspire those who share with him the passion for boxing.
I'm not one to brag around, but I feel proud of myself and what I've managed to do. And it's always nice having these kids come around. Some people come from very, very poor backgrounds. And at least they come here. Boxing kind of relaxes their mind. Most of the times we have a meal here at least once a week, because I'm the one to provide. My job only earns me $2, but I find a way of squeezing it, and then at least we get to be together and share the love through boxing.
He says some of his boxers have already joined the professional ranks, and he hopes they'll be called to represent Uganda sometime soon. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, listeners. This is Hussein Khalil from Uganda. I'm a gold medalist in Commonwealth Games 1982 in Brisbane, Australia. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The International Sports Press Association has organized an online conference on racism and discrimination in sports. Iron Mike Mbonye asked the association's president, Gianni Merlo, why did you hold the conference?
We have organized the conference on racism and discrimination in sport because we thought that was very important to give to the public and even to the journalists the real information regarding these two important issues in the society. Racism is very old and everybody knows what it is, even if many people are thinking only that it's black and white, but racism is everywhere in every society. The presence of many important experts has given us the possibility in this way to go deep in every problem regarding these two issues. Especially the second one, the discrimination, was very useful for everybody to understand exactly what it is.
Do you think Africa, and indeed African athletes, will benefit from this conference on racism and discrimination in sports?
I can only say that I hope that Africa and African athletes will benefit from this conference, because I think that we have opened the mind of many people, and only opening the mind of the even of the colleagues is possible after to give the right information and in this way to tackle the problem in the right way, because it's not only a problem of sport, but it's a problem of culture, and we have to follow exactly how culture is evolving in every country. But one thing is for sure, we have to fight against racism.
How will AIPS follow up with this topic after the conference?
We will follow up in the same way that we did with everything else. We will continue to monitor the situation around the world because, I think that racism and discrimination will take a lot of time before we can destroy this kind of cancer of our society. So the only hope that I have is that we can also in the future organize conferences as this to help the people to open their mind.
That's Gianni Merlo, president of the International Sports Press Association, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Italy. The Gunners of Arsenal have signed Ghanaian midfielder Thomas Partey in a transfer deal with Spain's Atletico Madrid football club. Arsenal's Spanish manager Mikel Arteta told the team's website, and I quote, "We have been watching Thomas for a while, so we're now delighted to add such a high-quality player to our squad. He is a dynamic midfielder with great energy. He brings a lot of experience from a top club that has competed at the highest level in La Liga and the Champions League for several years. Partey is scheduled to join up with Arsenal next week following international duty with the Black Stars of Ghana. Ghana will play Mali on Friday and 2022 World Cup host Qatar on Sunday. Thomas Partey has made 27 international appearances for Ghana and scored 10 goals. He was named the Ghana Player of the Year in 2018 and 2019. In another deal involving a top African player, European champion Bayern Munich has announced the signing of 31-year-old Cameroonian striker Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting from Paris Saint-Germain. Choupo-Moting has signed a contract until June 2021 with the German champions. He told Bayern's website, and I quote, "It's an honor to play for this club. It's always Bayern's aspirations to win everything, and I'm hugely motivated to help them achieve those goals." The Cameroonian international has experience in German football after playing previously for Hamburg, Nuremberg, Mainz, and Schalke. Dan Friedel chatted recently with the longtime soccer writer for the Washington Post newspaper. Here's Dan.
We're joined now on the Sunny Side of Sports by Washington Post sports reporter Steve Goff. Steve covers soccer, among other things, for the Post. Last time we talked to you, Steve, the soccer world was shut down due to the coronavirus pandemic. Now things are back in action. Welcome to the show. And what's the last couple of months been like for you now that games are being played again?
Yeah, things have picked up. The MLS tournament took place at Disney World in July. So I went down for about 8 days and experienced and observed what that was like in a bubble. Other sports obviously have done the same, NBA, NHL, the Women's Soccer League. It was something new in sports, and now it's become much more common as we see baseball go into it for the playoffs. And MLS started back in their home markets in late August. They'll continue with that until the beginning of November. And then if all goes well, the playoffs will last for 4 or 5 weeks. So, you know, it's not a normal season by any means, but they're doing the best they can with, under difficult circumstances.
I'm Dan Friedel. We're joined by Steve Goff from The Washington Post. Steve, in the spring, when a lot of these sports leagues were shut down, you were covering more than just sports. What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, when sports shut down in the spring, many of us in the sports department started working a combination of assignments. We continued to keep an eye on our responsibilities in sports, but we also were loaned out to the news desk, and that meant writing about the pandemic and the impact it was having, and just putting together small news items for the website, and working 8-hour shifts a couple days a week to assist with the broader coverage of the coronavirus locally, nationally, and internationally.
So how has it felt for you to get back to covering soccer, which I know is your passion? It's your beat that you've covered for a number of years. What was it like to go down to Florida to see your first game in person after a while?
Yeah, it was welcomed. Everyone was took great pride in helping the larger contributing to the larger picture of covering a global pandemic. But we were also eager to get back to sports. That's our, that's our comfort zone. And as sports resumed, our coverage resumed, and there's not nearly as much travel as there used to be before the pandemic, but there are instances here and there, whether it was to go on the road. For me, you know, that was going to Florida for a week. It was going to Cincinnati for a day with DC United, making some drives up to Philadelphia and New York, you know, some smaller trips. But this is, you know, this is our world right now. This is the way we're going to cover sports for the foreseeable future. And that means off TV and off Zoom press conferences, picking our spots for road trips.
So Steve, how do you think the players handled the layoff and the training and the concerns about getting sick themselves? Like now that we're seeing games back on a more regular schedule, do you think players have gotten up to full speed? Are they looking pretty good? The quality of play looks pretty good?
Yeah, I think at the beginning in Florida with MLS, you could tell players were not in proper match fitness. Practicing for a month or so was not going to prepare you the right way for competitive matches, and it showed. You could see it. Players, teams got better as the tournament transpired. When they got back to their home markets, they resumed regular training. Matches resumed in stadiums, and they've gotten up to speed. I think we've seen that in all sports, you know, whether it's the NBA, the NHL, NFL football without any preseason games as well. So it took them some time. I think the biggest adjustment for them perhaps was, you know, living their lives in the healthiest and safest ways possible, at home, you know, avoiding crowded situations, making sure they practice proper, sanitizing procedures, just making sure they did not pick up the virus. They're tested every other day, so, you know, if something happened, the teams would know right away. But, you know, it's a new world, and athletes were not immune from any of the things that all of us have to practice on a daily basis.
Steve, that brings me to a question about players that are playing soccer in Europe. You recently wrote a story about a good handful of American players that are making their impact felt in the leagues in Germany and France and England, for example. Maybe there was an advantage to some of these players taking the risk. You know, sometimes it's risky for a young player to decide to go play abroad because they're not sure about how many games they're going to get into, how often they're going to be used. But with the way that in the late spring and the summer, the virus seemed to have been controlled pretty well in Europe with games starting again.
Yep.
These players maybe had a chance to kind of regain their career timeline a little bit faster than players who are in the U.S. for example, for college or playing in the MLS. Why don't you help our listeners learn a little bit about some of these American players that have been making an impact recently in Europe?
Yeah, there's this young generation of American players, many of them who have been in Europe for quite a while, you know, as young teenagers, and they've risen through the systems of some big clubs. And for American soccer, that is unique. And you see it with, you know, the most famous of them is Christian Pulisic, who was in Germany for many years, was transferred a little more than a year ago to Chelsea in the Premier League. He is now a key player for Chelsea. He's been hurt the last few weeks, but he's an important figure for a major club in, you know, the most popular league in the world. You look over in Germany, there's a young American at Borussia Dortmund, which happened to be Pulisic's previous club, Giovanni Reyna. His father, as some people might remember, was the captain of U.S. World Cup teams and played in Europe and MLS. He's 17 years old, and he's playing regularly for a Bundesliga contender. And you see it elsewhere, whether it's Josh Sargent, a young player at Werder Bremen in Germany, Tim Weah is in the French top division. You see it with Weston McKennie, who just joined Juventus. You know, an American has never played for Juventus before, and here he is starting with Cristiano Ronaldo for the Serie A Italian power. So a great sign for a young generation of American players between the ages of like 17 and 23. That's the range. There's a couple guys who are a little bit older. There's an American who's now the backup goalkeeper at Manchester City, Zach Steffen. He's 25.
Yeah, I remember seeing Zach Steffen playing in college soccer tournaments in this area not too long ago.
Yep, University of Maryland. And these are all positive signs for the U.S. soccer national team program. It's certainly positive signs for their individual careers. And, you know, the U.S. coach, Greg Berhalter, is in a good position because after the failure of the national team to qualify for the 2018 World Cup in Russia, you now have a foundation of players who are not just employed by big clubs, but they're playing for big clubs. And that's a big difference. I mean, if you're in the system at a major club, you might not necessarily be playing, and that doesn't really help your development. But these guys are playing, and they're contributing. They're scoring goals. They're doing wonderful things. Tyler Adams at RB Leipzig in the Bundesliga. You know, he scored in the Champions League quarterfinal this summer. That's never been done by an American before. So all positive signs. You mix in some of the older players. You've got the potential of a very strong U.S. team heading toward the next World Cup, 2022, in Qatar. First, they got to qualify, of course, and that's where they stumbled last time around.
That's Washington Post soccer writer Steve Goff. And we'll hear more from Steve and Dan Friedel later this week.
Sporting greetings. This is Brunson. We are the head coach of the Nigerian national men's rugby team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Steve. That's my VOA colleague, Steve Miller. In African athletics, London Marathon champion Shura Kitata says a proper breakfast helped him win Sunday's big race in the British capital. The 24-year-old Kitata finished fourth in last year's London Marathon. He says, and I quote, "Last year I had very little breakfast and couldn't speed up at the end. This year I had porridge, banana, bread. I learned a lot from last year, and it gave me a chance in the race this time." Meanwhile, Kenya's Bridget Koskei says she was happy to defend her women's title in difficult weather conditions in London. Bridget finished more than 4 minutes outside the world record she set last year in Chicago. But Bridget says Mother Nature was not smiling on her Sunday. Koskei says, and I quote, "I was happy just to be in the same position as last year. The weather was very difficult. It was cold and there was wind and rain. So it was a very hard race. I promise to do better in the future." And
that wraps up the October 6th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC.